You can crush your fingers and all your toes during a data center migration. You can knock on wood, pluck a dozen four-leaf clovers, or look to your lucky stars for a successful office expansion. You could hold your breath, shut your eyes, and say all the well wishes to help avoid cyber attacks. But none of that truly helps you. Because Next Level Moments need the Next Level Network. With the security, reliability, and expertise to take your business further. AT&T Business. The network you can rely on.
Hi guys, welcome back to Speaker Anarchy. We have another amazing brand with us today. I have been really, you know, eyeing this brand for a long time, actually. I noticed them, you know, a while back, and then I was lucky enough and fortunate enough to have them reach out. So without further ado, I want to introduce you guys to the founder of Pi Skincare, Sarah Brown. Welcome to the show, Sarah. I'm so excited to be hosting you.
Hector, thank you so much for having me. Pleasure to be here.
Oh, the pleasure is truly mine. I really, really love your brand and I can't wait to dive into it, but I really want to learn about how you conceptualized it, how it all began, if you could kind of take us on that journey.
Well, how long have you got? your mind quite a way back, because actually we've been going a lot longer than many people realize. And before really the word clean was even in our vernacular, and when sustainability was really, you know, just a concept. So yeah, so I started this business back in sort of 2007, 2008, and I started it not because I came from this industry at all, nor was I a former business owner, nor was I a chemist, but I came at it as a very, very frustrated consumer. So I had and have a condition called chronic urticaria. For those listeners out there who know it, they will know the frustration of living with this skin condition, and it's very misunderstood and not often talked about. But my condition onset very, very suddenly, and really it was my experiences trying to live with it, trying to manage it, trying to navigate a beauty industry I didn't know or understand, in particularly ingredient lists, and having to unpick them and work out what was in the bottle and what I could and couldn't tolerate was a big part of it. And that's how the brand sort of first came into being. And what started as, you know, from a position of real frustration became something magical and really positive. Yeah. I started to understand ingredients, and it took me down this wonderful journey into natural and then organic, and really understanding the remedial properties of plants, I guess. So, yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, it shows, you know, I love that you told us that, Sarah, because I think that all of the really wonderful, clean, truly what I would consider to be clean brands, clean beauty, however you want to term it, you know, they really start with this really deep understanding from the founders and for the natural products you're using. It doesn't just come from this idea of, okay, well, I'm going to use organic eucalyptus and then all of a sudden bam, I'm a clean brand. You know what I mean? It's not like that. It's from this like very interesting place, which is a place of like a very well-researched approach to fixing a problem. And so I really love that you started us off that way, and I really want to focus on that because the line is absolutely wonderful. You know, as I said in the beginning, I've been eyeing you guys for a long time, but I really enjoy it because it is, I think, something that everyone can use and everyone can really kind of blend into their routine. So I really want you to share with us the things that you discovered in the natural products and the, you know, in the clean beauty, you know, I guess arena that really helped you craft what you wanted to make and what you needed for your health.
Sure. I mean, and you know, thanks for saying all that. And I think the other thing is that I think what's been really key to Pi and our success is that we really understand our customer too. So it's not just understanding ingredients, it's really understanding what it's like to live with skin that's a challenge and that's unpredictable, and really understanding how that feels. And I think that is really where how the brand evolved, because, you know, why did I start the business? You know, why does Pi exist? Well, we're here to help others and help others who are in a real skin rut like I was and having to kind of navigate my own way out. That's what we're here to do. And there's so much, I mean, you'll know better than anyone, there's just so much misinformation out there. It's just there's so many products, there's so many brands to wrap your head around. And I think that's, I found that very challenging all those years ago when, you know, arguably the market was smaller. But yeah, so I think the kind of the whole premise was, you know, help others get to a better and happier skin place. And I think, you know, really I've always wanted to do that through, you know, extraordinarily high quality products that will work. But, you know, my choice was I want to do this and I want to make the products ourselves. So that's sort of the key. Because I mean, not everyone realizes that we, you know, still we have our own custom built production facility in London. I mean, it's madness. London in UK, which is madness, but it is that connection to the product. So, you know, kind of my thing was we've got to make the products and we've got to manage that as we scale, because when you're dealing with these precious, beautiful ingredients that you've spent so much time sourcing and meticulously checking, you can't just then heat them to destruction. You've got to look after them. So I knew that we could only do that properly and really harness all of their properties by actually being very closely involved in the manufacturing process of it. And then I wanted to create these great products to help people using nature. And, you know, I guess one of the things I've learned, and I learned, you know, early on, but it's, do you know what, it's been such a challenge is to change perceptions of natural. And, you know, the market, you know, has moved so much, which is great, and the clean categories, you know, exploded. And but I do think there's still this slight belief that natural can be a bit of a compromise in terms of performance. And I think it's nonsense. And I think I often hear people say, well, you know, you can choose natural or you can choose science.
It's an oxymoron. That's an oxymoron. That makes no sense to me. I don't believe in that at all. And I think it's funny. Yeah, it's funny you bring that up, because, you know, that's exactly where I was going with our conversation too, is this idea of, you know, people don't, I think clean beauty has gotten a really bad reputation because of the brands that are not founded on the principles that I mentioned earlier, after you know, kind of started us off. And that is because, you know, that's the whole greenwashing thing. That's the whole, you know, just saying something's clean and no one even knows what that means. And we went through that whole, you know, evolution as an industry. But, you know, for me as a scientist, I look at natural ingredients as the most scientifically relevant, you know, components of any good brand, any good formula, because when you're synthesizing something in a lab, you know, you're mimicking nature. You're not creating it out of nowhere. And that's where I think consumers are headed, but they need to get there. I mean, for example, you know, you had mentioned chronic urticaria, and this is for everyone listening. It's classified as an autoimmune disease, but really what's going on here is that your body is just going haywire, you know, and I have Hashimoto's and I've shared that on the podcast. So any autoimmune disorder, it's a lot of chaos, and you have to be able to really calm down those very complex signaling processes and really treat that on a multi-level. Like, you know, it's not just cellular, it's molecular. And so if you have a clean line and that is allowing for that to happen, it's calming down something like that, that is extremely good science. And that's something I think consumers they're starting to understand, but they still have a hard time. They're like, how can I believe that when it's derived from a plant? And I'm just like, well, every modern medicine that's ever changed humanity has been derived from a plant. So, like, you know, it just doesn't make sense.
I could talk to you all afternoon, honestly, because this is music to my ears, and you're absolutely right. It's so beautifully put. So I think just even on a very, but I think you're right. It's quite hard to explain. It's quite hard for people to understand who don't come from this space. And I think, you know, even on a very practical level, just the formulation process, you know, let's just talk about that. This idea that it's not scientific, you know, it's the same, often the same cosmetic chemists using the same equipment, having to do all of the same testing. And it's a scientific process of creation. The only difference is you're using different raw materials in certain instances. And that's what we've got to correct in this misconception, really.
Well, you know, I think that's interesting that you mentioned the extraction process and stuff too. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I wanted to just ask, like, you know, because I think that it's a huge answer. It's a very easy answer for my long question of that I always ask brands is that dosing idea, right? And it's like if you stick to, I feel like if you stick to nature and just normal plant extracts, you're coming as close as we can to keeping things in a reasonable amount in terms of what the active components are. You know what I mean? So it's like if you synthesize something in a lab and you make it to be extremely potent and it's put into a product, you have no way of modulating how that's going to react with the skin. However, natural products have something called an inbuilt dosing mechanism because they're actually, you know, it's mimicking plant life. I mean, that's life. You know, it comes from life. So, if that makes sense to everybody, I mean, I'm in my head about it, but it's very interesting to me that I think it's a more practical approach to dosing than synthetically creating molecules and then just, you know what I mean, bombarding them in a formulation. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and so I want to ask you, I for example, I was telling you before the recording started that one of my favorite products in the line is the mist, and I love it because it's very calming, not just obviously for my skin, but just my senses overall. And I noticed that you have lotus in it, which I love the lotus flower. I'm a huge, always been a huge fan. And it's hyaluronic acid, and it's a simple mist, but it just does wonders for my skin. So I would love for you to maybe even talk to us about this product and the
Sure.
formulation. Yeah.
Well, do you know, I mean, what's interesting about this product is it was a reformulation that we re-released this year. And I think as brands and businesses, we need to do this more because reformulation is as important as new releases. Because otherwise, you know, if you know that you can improve an existing product with maybe ingredients that weren't available when you first created that product, then that's what you should do rather than creating more and more new products. That's always the temptation to do, but we said, no, do you know what? That makes sense to just evolve what we have rather than create something new. So, you know, that's from a sustainability point of view, actually quite important. Obviously, it's not, you know, when you relaunch a product, you know, in 2.0 version, it's less exciting and it's harder to hype, but it's still what we should be doing. So this was a product we'd had in the line for a really long time, but we just knew that classic thing where we're like, actually, if we formulated this today, we would do it slightly differently because we just know more and there's different ingredients. So yes, it's got lotus in it and it's actually lotus root. So it's actually an extraction almost of the kind of waters and juices within that root that have the exact pH of skin actually. And it's just has this lovely calming action to it. But we've also kind of doubled up with hyaluronic acid, as you say, but also inulin. And inulin is a wonderful prebiotic. So it's just brilliant. And what, you know, that will do is feed the good bacteria in the skin. And when you have a good kind of healthy microbiome, that's going to really help prevent inflammation. And so it has this, you know, it goes back to barrier support. And you know, happy skin is strong skin and resilient skin. So it's not for us, we're not always just trying to calm skin, we're trying to support it. And I know better than anyone with a condition like urticaria, and you will know this too. I mean, part of it is actually, yeah, not just it's understanding that condition and building that resilience and working sometimes in a preventative way too. So yeah, it's a really simple, well, yeah, I mean, it's not actually that simple, but it's a product that I found personally so helpful for my own skin, partly because it's cooling. So my condition is my gets very hot. My skin gets extremely hot and it cools the skin down, but it also just layers in this hydration and it's just beautiful to use in between products. So it's like a core part of my regime now and has been for about 8 years, but now on a kind of more souped up level, it's just delivering so much more for the skin, but it's a really, really great way to just, yeah, keep the skin calm, but also suited, you know, suitably replenished and hydrated.
Yeah,
But I
it's
love
a nice
that
little break.
you love it.
Yeah, no, I love that. I love it too. I mean, it's a really great product and it's a very nice, refreshing moment in the day whenever you use it. So, I think right now I brought this up because I've noticed that everybody is gravitating towards mist products, but it's like, you know, I mean, not all mists are made the same, you know, so there are very few ones I really, really enjoy, and I really like this one a lot. It's nice, you know, it's a pick me up during the day. And I think, you know, I like that you've kept it simple in the sense of like the things that you're trying to accomplish for skin health. You know, obviously hydration is one of the most key components for great skin, you know, as you know. And I actually wrote a mini opinion paper just the other day about this, about how everybody is talking about, well, pH this and pH that, and we have to, you know, match the acid mantle of our skin. And I'm sitting here thinking, like, that's just such a terrible way to approach it, because again, you can't target things like that. You know what I mean? Like, it's more of like a, you have to naturally let your skincare match your skin's physiology, because there's different compartments. There's a topical compartment on top of your cells. There's intracellular, intercellular, subcellular, and all of those areas have different pHs. So, like, for, I'm just using this as an example, is some brands that just focus on, okay, this is super acidic. You know what I mean? It's great for your skin, acid mantle, you know, all that stuff. And it's like, no. Again, with the words, you know, like, you can't focus on one thing. And I think skin is so dynamic, and so this layering and this multifactorial aspect, I think it's shown very well in clean brands. You know, that's really what I'm trying to get at, is that it's, you know, there, it's the closest you can get to really understanding how to treat the skin, because there's no one answer. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I think on the in the simplest in the simplest terms, I believe that products should support your skin's natural processes and never suppress them. And I think when talking about pH and yes, it's a really complex area, but I think what and when I say I never suppress or disrupt, and I think actually it's cleansing that can actually really disrupt your skin's pH, and the wrong cleansing can actually send you down a really a really bad path. So it's again just using products that are going to keep your skin in balance and support it support what it needs to do, but not disrupt.
No, I mean, I agree. And I think it's not just cleansing, it's the whole process, right? That's why a skincare routine, in my opinion, is important, because, like I said, I mentioned hydration. Well, hydration helps the pH, you know? That's what that it's like people, I feel like consumers have like one, like, this is a movie and they're watching one snapshot at a time. And that's what irritates me, because I'm like, you know, we start this conversation about one thing, but then it's like you have to understand it's a whole thing, that it's a whole moving organism kind of thing. You know, your organ is constantly evolving, all of your organs are evolving and changing, and so you need dynamic skincare for that dynamic, you know, just everyday process that occurs in your skin. But I actually want to ask you, like, you know, you have been around, you've seen the clean beauty movement, the green beauty movement, natural, organic, and I just want to get your take on what your opinion has been. What are some things you've seen, like, really change, I guess, the scene, or in a good way, or maybe, you know, in a negative way, if you could share that with us.
I've seen a lot. I've seen a lot change. I think good, yeah, and to your point, good and bad. I think, you know, let's talk about clean for a minute. And I think when I started out, the word didn't exist, and certainly the that kind of category didn't exist. And the positive of it is that it's absolutely hugely expanded the natural category, and interest, in kind of natural ingredients, and actually getting people reading ingredient lists that would never have before, you know, hallelujah. So it in many ways it's opened a lot more people up to this space, which is great. The challenge is that as you alluded to earlier, there's so many brands have piled in, and there's just, you know, I don't want to get too fixated on the term clean, but it's just a self-referring standard. It doesn't mean anything. Brands can just say what it means for them and their business, and you know, does that make them better or worse than the next brand who have a different set of standards for their definition of clean? It's just not particularly helpful. But what it does mean is that, you know, what bugged me about greenwashing and back when I started is now 10 times worse. And I never predicted that. I never thought it would get worse. I thought it would get better. And that's really disappointing. And I think when we've never needed more sort of independent standards around labeling and terms that we use around organic or natural or whatever. I think that's really, really important. And certainly when I started the business, we've been certified organic since day one. And, you know, we're certified organic because I, working with the ingredients, I realized that certified organic are complete, they're kind of another level quality in terms of concentration and purity and kind of properties. But I also realized what it meant for, you know, the whole cultivation and extraction and the whole supply chain of it is properly looked after, people within it are properly looked after. And I was like, okay, I'm going to run a business. I want to sleep at night. And it was, you know, the ethical dimensions of that just aren't understood. So that was really important. But sorry, to the kind of the point of this is that we need more of those kind of kite marks of authenticity. And it doesn't, you know, I think natural or clean or whatever, it means different things to different people, and every customer cares about a different element of it. But I do think if you're going out to make claims, you know, pick your value and certify yourself to that value and prove that what, you know, what you're saying is true. I think it's super important because there's so much lack of, and just distinct lack of trust now. So I think, you know, that's what I've seen change, is that the need for these authentication is never been greater. And the positive of that is it's starting to happen. So certainly here in Europe, we now have I think it's called the Code of Green. What's it called? Green Code of, anyway, I'll send it to you. It's a new standard to actually try and impose some restrictions on what you can and can't say, and it, you know, a degree of monitoring. It's not a fully kind of, it's not legislation yet, but I think we're getting there. And that's been set up by the Competition and Markets Authority. It's quite an interesting step. But you've also got platforms like Provenance. I don't know if you know it. It's fascinating. Go and encourage you to check it out. But that's really helpful because that point of purchase, and it's now online at the moment, but it will ultimately be in store too. You can, there's someone verifying product brands claims, and they're called proof points. And you can click on them. And if a brand says they're natural, you can, you know, there are proof points that you can click on to say, we as this independent body can certify that this is true. And this is what this particular standard means. Because also there's across the globe, there's so many different natural standards. There's so many, you know, it's very, that's confusing on its own. So it'll explain what that standard means, but it will consistently do that. So it's the same wherever you read it. So there's some really fascinating developments. So it's sort of started not great from a greenwashing point of view, clean washing. It's got a whole lot worse, but I see like there's a light in the end of the tunnel we've got to substantiate claims. That's one thing, things I've seen. The other one is around sustainability. And I think that, again, there's a positive story here, which is, you know, we as an industry produce a lot of packaging, and historically a lot of packaging that's pretty hard to onwardly recycle, which brings, and anyway, that brings its own set of complexity too. But, you know, we produce a lot of stuff, and a lot was going into landfill. So there's been huge developments in terms of packaging, with PCR plastics and bioplastics and recycling schemes and TerraCycle schemes. It's all great, but it's still difficult for customers, I think. But I think the challenge I have now is huge progress there, but we're not thinking about true end of life of products. And, you know, we're thinking about the pack, basically. We're not thinking about everything that's going into that bottle. And we need to, you know, and I would love everyone, you know, listen to think, you know, where, how is your product made? How is it made? How's it come into being? And what happens at the end of the life after you've disposed of that bottle? Maybe, you know, very, very responsibly. What about if it's a wash-off product? What, you know, what happens when it was washed away? Has someone checked that those ingredients do biodegrade well? And it brings you back to that organic standard, because again, that was a key point where all of the ingredients you choose are checked for biodegradability. And for their biodegradability, and that's really, really important. So I think that's what I'd love to see more of is thinking about sustainability in its sort of end to end in a way. And the challenge with it, and why I think it won't, well, I'd love it to happen in my lifetime, but I think the real challenge is it's very hard for brands to do, because if you don't make your own products and you're not certified by an independent body that's looking at your ingredient choices, it's almost impossible. I don't know how you could possibly know what's in the bottle, genuinely, and how those ingredients have come into being, whether it's been they've been synthesized in a lab or whether they've been cultivated, what that supply chain or process behind it, underpinning it, looks like, how those people treated, how those communities, you know, how is it affecting local communities? You can't know, and you said, and then again, it's you. I don't think you can. You would know unless you're incredibly conscientious as a brand and you do these biodegradability tests yourself, which would be pretty difficult and pretty expensive. I don't know how you can know. So that means that it there remains a minuscule minority of us that can actually confidently say that we're minimizing impact and looking at true end of life. And I think it's important. Just because of the products we're creating. Look at how many products launch every day.
Yes, exactly. And you know, it's interesting you bring this up. I literally just published a paper about nanoparticles and the cosmetic industry and how we need to re-examine what sustainability really means. Because you can think someone can tell you, you know, they're a manufacturer or whatever they are. And there's so many of them, right? I mean, we talk about how many brands there are, but let's talk about how many people are making things, like, to sell to these brands so that these brands can then further make the products. It's a really unregulated area. And one of the biggest things that I see from a toxicology standpoint is this idea of nanoparticle, toxicity, whether that's to the environment or to people over time. And animals, you know, and I think that really is a topic that needs to be talked about by real ecologists, you know, people in science. Like, we need to start assessing what, like, the geographical areas of certain, you know, if there's 10 brands that are, you know, harvesting or using one geographical area, we need to start doing studies that show things like, you know, the soil pH, like, what are the long-term impacts of harvesting that area or using those products or depleting those sources, and also how much are they really being degraded, like you said. You know, those are all questions that are also very deep and they're very involved. Mm-hmm. And I think that there's gonna have to be a moment that happens where there's a shift between private companies that are certifying things and make it into a more follow academic science in the sense of peer review, in the sense of there's a true regulation. And I think, you know, some of the examples you gave are definitely great examples these days. You know, certified organic, I know that, you know, there's a really stringent, you know, list of criteria you have to go through. And I know, what is it, Leaping Bunny is also a really great thing to, you know, to have certification through. But I mean, there still needs to be a lot more, you know, because there's a lot of layers now. And I think with just the mass production of products, you know, we can't as an industry say this is safe or this is actually helping the environment or it's not impacting negatively the environment or the people in that environment. We can't say that. We have no data to say that. You know what I mean? So it's like, it doesn't make sense to me. Yeah.
It's fascinating hearing you talk about this when you break it down into all of its constituent parts, I mean, it's just mind-blowingly hard to do that work, you know, just one ingredient, right? And so, yeah, it's a long old road. But, you know, one of the other things I just thought of when you're sort of saying what's changing, and I think one of the things that we're certainly looking at as a business that, you know, I feel really good about actually is, again, you know, just thinking about how much we produce as an industry and the impact on the planet. I think we in a recent launch actually, we have used, I think it's 6 different ingredients that have either come from zero waste their zero waste ingredients all have come from upcycled. They're upcycled ingredients. So what that means, so if we take, that's one product, and it shows what you can do, and that it is a beautiful, very high performing vitamin C product. And I think what it kind of shows is what you can do with a bit of consideration and thought that could have a huge impact if this became an industry trend and shift. And so just to explain what, for those who don't know what these terms mean, so upcycled is when you take an ingredient that's going to be otherwise thrown away. So we take a lot from the food industry, and so often seeds from the juicing industry, and then you extract the oil out of those seeds. So they would otherwise be just thrown away. And we are extracting, like bilberry oil is a great example of that. It's a beautiful oil. I mean, it's so nourishing and replenishing. It's just a gorgeous, gorgeous oil for the skin. And so it's that notion of up, not recycling, upcycling. It's going back up into a more premium use and more premium product. So that's a really lovely example. And then you've got the other sort of end of the spectrum almost is zero waste. So that's when we're producing an ingredient, and you know, every manufacturing process delivers a degree of waste, right? So rather than us throwing that waste away, we are giving it to make animal feed or to fertilize plants, plant fertilizers, or obviously all natural. So we're putting it back into life. Our waste is then going back into life. Isn't that fantastic? And that's what you can do now, but with no compromise on the performance of these are beautiful ingredients. We need to think about that. There are different ways you can do it, and you can top and tail it in the way that I've just explained, you know, either taking waste or managing your waste. But wouldn't it be wonderful if we were all thinking in that way?
Oh my gosh, it would be a different world. You know, I think what you just said is so beautiful to me, because I remember like the first time I heard of that concept of just, you know, giving nature what you take from it. Like, the best way you can do that is nutrients. You know, if you take nutrients out, give it right back, you know, put them right back in. And Neil deGrasse Tyson was the first person I'd ever heard that had said that. He said he was actually talking about his own, you know, wishes of after he passes away. And like, and he's like, I want to give back to the earth what it has given me, which is sustenance, you know? And so it was such a beautiful way to say it. But it applies to so many different things. And it's such a easy concept to grasp. Yet, you know, going back to your point, you know, what would this world look like if we just did that? You know, you just give back what you take. And it's not hard, because think about it. It's all about elements. It's all about nitrogen, carbon, oxygen, you know, all these elements. And it's not that you have to put things back exactly how they were. You just have to put back the raw materials. You know what I mean? So it's very interesting. But no, I actually really, really love the whole line, you know, Sarah. It's a beautiful line. And I've really enjoyed using it. I've really enjoyed knowing that it's something I can rely on. For me, I think that's huge. Like, you know, whenever I try to, like, whenever I interview any brand, it's, I try to point out if that's there in that brand. And I think for everyone listening, the more and more we're getting into this world of skin health, and as consumers, the more educated we're getting, it's important to find options that are going to work, and they're not going to make your skin worse, or even, you know, like change your skin so that if you stop using those products, you are going to now have a reaction. That's like, you know, the sensitization aspect is also very important to me. So I think with Pi, what I see is just a beautiful brand that, you know, you can incorporate. Like I said, you can use it on its own, or you can, if you have a skincare routine, you can incorporate the products very, very seamlessly and beautifully into your routine. So I really commend you for what you've created. I mean, it shows that it's years and years of hard work. It really shows.
I mean, thank you. And honestly, it's just fascinating hearing you talk, because it's exactly what you said is exactly sort of what I was probably not saying nearly as articulately as you earlier in the recording, was just about this point of, yes, a product should support your skin's natural processes. And what you just said is really interesting then, is that not kind of trying to problem solve something and then leave a different problem. And I think that's quite common. I see that a lot, and often at Pi, because we offer, you know, free consultation services, and we are often the receiving end of sensitization to other ingredients. That's often what we're dealing with, and we're trying to sort of help that person's, you know, calm their skin back down. And And it's usually by stopping and just letting their skin almost heal itself. But right. we see it a lot, and we see it a lot, particularly with sort of products for acne, is that in trying to treat the spot and the blemish in that moment, you often leave other problems behind. And you can completely kind of desiccate the skin, completely imbalance it and cause other issues. And that shouldn't happen. You shouldn't be fixing one thing but leaving a different issue. And I think absolutely. That's what we really understand. Yeah.
No, I absolutely agree with you. I think that's a huge, you know, thing to master, actually. You know, and there's very few brands, if you really think about it, that are able to say that, because mm-hmm. I know that, you know, most people, they'll be using a brand for maybe, you know, 2-3 months, stop using it, then they start breaking out or their skin starts freaking out. And yeah, it's, you know, it's sensitization. It's a whole, and this really goes back to that original point of you coming up with a solution for a problem that you personally had. You know, mm-hmm. that's where I find it to be so fascinating, because the true essence of, I think, clean skincare and the true value is in that. What we started this discussion mm-hmm. on, which is you wanted to find a solution to a problem, you know, and that problem was basically molecular chaos. And to calm down that molecular chaos is what you did. So you're not going, you didn't create, because of that solution, it's not going to be something that damages your skin further. It's only going to calm your skin. It's only going to help your skin. So I think it's beautiful. I think the whole process, the whole brand, I love it. So, thank you know, you. Really, truly hats off.
Yeah, but also yeah. to that point that you made, I think what we also are very, very clear on and really manage expectations is that exactly what you described is the kind of chaos that when you have a skin condition like Hashimoto, or no, sorry, your condition, Hashimoto, mine, urticaria for skin, is this kind of idea of chaos and how complex it is, that a topical product that you apply is one piece of the jigsaw puzzle. It's not, you have to think about everything in its entirety and your health in its entirety. So we are very clear to say this will provide comfort and support, and it will help rebalance, and it will do these different things that will really support you in the moment and build strength into the skin and all of those things. But you also have to look at your diet, your sleep, your stress, and that's really important, because you can't do it in isolation. A topical product will never be the sole fix. I don't hear brand owners say that very much, because people want a quick fix. They want the quick fix.
Yeah. But I mean, you can have, if you have for example, a hypersensitivity reaction, or if you're experiencing, you know, just inflammation acute, where it just came up, it's redness, you can fix that immediately. But there are certain, but like you said, you can't have a quick fix to signs of aging or, you know, pigmentation, or you have to be patient, but you have to, you know, it's like, it really is what you said. It's like, you know, if you start a new diet or you go see a nutritionist, they're not going to tell you to do this for 2 days. They're going to say you stick to this for this many months, and then you're going to see a change. So yeah, I completely agree with you. I think it's really a mindset that needs to shift. And I'm just glad that there are brands like yours, and you guys are really paving the way for that. You know, it's kind of a clear spot in the haze of clean beauty and, you know, the gray area that it has now become. So I truly appreciate that as a consumer. So. But right. Thank you so much, Sarah. This was lovely. I really enjoyed speaking with you. And, you know, the line for everyone listening, please go check out the entire range. It's a beautiful, product line. It's not very many products, which is another thing I really appreciate, because it's not going to confuse you guys. You're not going to be like wondering, what should I get? Just get all the stuff. Okay. And make a routine for yourself. You know, it's really important to have a routine. If you stick to it, it takes 21 days to form a habit. And I always try to tell people, try it and see what happens to your skin. And if you don't see results, then change things around. But you have to try it for 21 days at least, you know, and stick to it.
Totally right. And also just on that point about routines, I couldn't agree with you more. I think it's quite hard to sometimes know how to build a routine. I think we assume a level of knowledge. And if anyone ever wants advice, we have skin coaches who are available completely free for a consultation, and they will help. They'll ask you a series of questions, but they'll help you work out which product you might start with, which two or three products you could build into a simple routine and how you build from there. Because often it's so easy to misdiagnose your own skin type, first of all. And if you start with the wrong products, it sort of takes you down the wrong way, and then it takes ages to get back. And so let's, you know, start right from the beginning. That can be super helpful and get you results quicker. So yeah, if you need advice, that's there for the taking, and it's all free.
I love that. And you know, that's really, really great that you have that inbuilt, because I think that a lot more people need to take advantage of those kind of services. You know, seek an expert. You don't have to figure it out yourself, you know. And this is for all the people on Reddit, especially, you know, that are always confused, like, what should I buy? What should I combine? So yeah, I think that's wonderful. But Sarah, thank you so much. This has been so lovely. And yeah, for everyone listening, please check out the concept art for this episode. I will tag everything about the brand. If you have any questions at all, you can always reach out to us here at Skincare Anarchy, and we'll pass along your comments and your questions to the team at Pi Skincare. But thank you so much, Sarah. This was lovely.
A pleasure. Thank you so much for having me on.
Thank you.